Church. What a powerful name. What a powerful name it is. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8 says this. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Church, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we have that power. God, that you have given us your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be a helper, to guide us, to convict us, Lord, to push us towards you. And so, Father, I thank you for that gift. I thank you, Lord, that we receive it through your Son. I thank you for Jesus, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, and for loving us so perfectly and wonderfully through him. And Lord, I just pray right now that as we enter into your word, Lord, that you would speak through it, Lord, that you would write it on our hearts, God, that we would have ears that are ready to hear, and God, and hearts that are open, Lord, so that you can write this on our hearts. I pray that you would change lives today, God, that as we learn about Philip the evangelist, Lord, that we would be evangelizers, Lord, that we would be evangelized too. So, Lord, speak through Paul. Lord, we love you and we trust you. We give you all of this time, God. Prepare our hearts for your word. God, it's in your name we pray. Amen.
There's seats in the front. What? You might want to point out there's seats in the front. Somebody's up
there. Oh, okay. Good morning. There are some seats up here in front if anybody wants to come up front. Hello, my name is Paul. I'm one of the pastors here. It's good to see y'all this morning. Pastor Chris is in the back. He is resting because yesterday his daughter Shelby got married. It was such a beautiful, beautiful service. Very God-honoring, and we're just so happy for Shelby. And that's it, right? Your two daughters are married, so now it's, yep. Yeah. Now you're free, you're gonna save so much money now because you don't have to, you know. And we had some good brisket too. Thank you, hospitality team, wow. So today we're going to read about Philip the evangelist, not to be confused with Philip the apostle, one of the 12 that Jesus had chosen. No, we're going to talk about Philip, the one that we read from Acts chapter 6, and we're going to learn a little bit about his life. So why don't we open up our Bibles, or you can look up on the screen, and let's take a look at Philip the evangelist. It says, now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So right at the onset, we can see that there was something very special about Philip, about these men who were selected. We read there that these men were full of the Holy Spirit. They were men of good reputation. They could be trusted to oversee the business of ministering to the needs of the saints. And as I look across this room, I see many of you who fit that criteria. And I want to say thank you. Our staff wants to say thank you because our church does feel small, even though it's large, because of the way that you love one another. And we're blessed to see you doing that. So here's this man named Philip, who many know him as Philip the Evangelist. And we're going to look at some events in Philip's life that earned him that reputation. Now, what is an evangelist? By definition, it's one who seeks to convert others to Christianity by public preaching. An evangelist, they're excited about telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. I can think of one that just spoke this morning, Eric. There's my brother Eric, ready to share the good news all over the world, just as Deborah and just as Shelby and Kyle are about to go back to Thailand and continue the work that the Lord has called them to do. And Philip is no different. In this scene, I want to give you a little background before we enter into the Philip's preaching of the good news. If you remember last week, Paul had been persecuting the church to the point where even people were being killed. Some were being jailed, some were being beaten. And this caused a spreading of the believers to go out to the different areas of Jerusalem. And you see Samaria and you see Judea being some of those regions that they were being scattered about. And it's just as Jesus described in Acts 1:8. What did he say there? It's part of what Jaden read this morning. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So let's read about this preaching that Philip did. It says there, beginning in verse 4, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who practiced sorcery in the city, and he also astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, and they were saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him, because he had also astonished them with his sorceries for a very long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself, he also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." So this is exciting. Philip is out there preaching the good news and people are coming to the faith. But what happens next? Something very interesting, something that caused me to do a little bit more research because it threw me off. And we're going to read together what happens here. It says here that the apostles who were at Jerusalem, when they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, that they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." And Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." And so when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So what just happened here? We know in Scripture that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. When we believe in the Lord Jesus as Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. It didn't happen here. Why? I had to do a little bit of research to see what was going on here. And from what I gathered, and I want to challenge y'all to go and do your studying as well, it seems to me that in Samaria, they had their own system of worship, different than the Jews. And many historians have thought that perhaps in order to protect the integrity, preserve the integrity of its initial start, of its beginnings, the apostles had to be the ones to come lay hands on these Samaritans so that the oneness in Christ would not be misunderstood. Because you see, Simon, he thought that he could buy his way into doing these miracles and these signs. But what it boiled down to, it was a heart issue. And his heart wasn't right. He didn't believe with his heart. He thought he could still do those signs and wonders just following this man and seeing the miracles that Philip was doing. And I think it's good for us to consider this because even today, we can fall prey to following someone who has a lot of charisma. Maybe they speak awesome and they just have this draw to them, but they're not really following Christ. They're doing it for their own selfish gain. Be careful, church. Be careful. This wasn't Philip's heart. And I love that even though he saw this happen, his heart was right. He was a follower of Christ. And immediately it says that the Holy Spirit came to him and took him, whisked him off to another place so he could go and continue to do the evangelism that God has called him to do. This is good for us too, to remain steadfast, to continue to do the work, and let God deal with those who have ulterior motives. It kind of reminds me of last week when Chris mentioned that Paul said, you know what, I'm going to rejoice that Christ is being preached no matter what. So let's look at verse 26 there in chapter 8, and let's see this next area that the Holy Spirit sends Philip to evangelize. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asks him, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch replies and says, how can I unless someone guides me? And so he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the place in the scripture that he was reading. It said, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and asked, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip, he was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So this is something amazing that has just happened. The eunuch is now a believer in Jesus Christ. And what's interesting is that Philip was called specifically to go out to this place and meet with this eunuch. And many of us might be thinking, well, but Philip was already in a region and a group of a lot of people where he could have shared the gospel and many could have come to the faith. But no, the Holy Spirit had a different plan.
He sent him to a specific person in a specific place. It reminds me of Jesus. There were many times where he went to specific people in specific places, like the woman at the well. But God is up to something really big. This is what's really amazing. He goes to this eunuch, and if we read about this eunuch, we know that he is someone who is just not an ordinary man. No, this man, he is part of a royal kingdom. He has a great responsibility. He's over the queen's treasury. Who is this queen, and what is this region that's about to be impacted? Well, let's look at this map just to get an idea. So we read here that this eunuch was someone of great authority, and he was serving under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. What's important to know, though, is that Candace was not actually her name, but rather it's a reference to a royal title. These queens, they ruled the Cushite kingdom of Meroe, and they were known as Candikes, meaning royal women. And they're mentioned frequently in ancient writings. And when it was Latinized, that word, the K became a C, and so that's where we get Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. It's a dynastic title, like Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And some historians believe that this very eunuch may have served one of the most famous Candikes, the queen Amenatori, who ruled in the early mid-first century AD. So you see, this eunuch was not just some random person. This was someone who was about to impact a region just like Jesus intended for him to do. And this is the way that we get to see God's heart in action. This eunuch, he was coming back from worshiping in Jerusalem, and we can deduce that more than likely he was a proselyte, converted to the faith, but there was still something very different about this eunuch. Because of his physical difference, he was not able to enter into the assembly and to worship the Lord like the others. In Deuteronomy 23:1, it says, "He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord." But all of that is about to change. Because when we look back and we look a little deeper and we see that Philip arrives on this scene to this Ethiopian man reading from Isaiah, he's going to realize that there's something special about this passage, and he's going to realize that he is now going to get to enter into the greatest assemblies ever made known to man, and that's the family of God. Let's look at Isaiah 53, beginning there in verse 5. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And this eunuch, he wants to know what is being described in this passage. And Philip, who has the good news, tells him, this is about Jesus, the Messiah, the one who meekly gave his life to save the world. And in that very moment when he believes, his position has now changed. And I use that word position intentionally because, remember, going to the great assembly, he had to stay outside. He couldn't actually enter into the temple. But now his position in Christ says, "I'm in. I'm in that family of God." And he's so excited about it, he's ready to get baptized. I imagine he was not traveling alone, this man of great responsibility. And he's ready to make a public proclamation about something that God has done in his heart. He's given his life to the Lord Jesus and recognized Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I think that as he was reading through these scriptures, all of a sudden you see Isaiah 56 come to life in a whole powerful new way to this eunuch. Let's read it together, beginning in verse 3, when he says, "There, do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, 'The Lord has utterly separated me from his people.' Nor let the eunuch say, 'Here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. This is the good news, church. Can you think about people who are still standing outside of the assembly that think that they can't be in here because of their shame, because of their sin, because of mistakes they've made in their life? That's not true. We read here, just as a eunuch is now part of the family, any one of those two, they're welcome when they place their faith in Jesus Christ to receive that same forgiveness. And the story doesn't end there. The eunuch was so filled with joy, and he was compelled to get baptized immediately. And then it says there, when he comes out, Philip's gone. He's just gone. Interesting, right? How many of us, you know, when our friend, somebody we've been pouring into, we see them get baptized, we just want to stay there and party and maybe even gloat a little bit? But it's the work of Christ that's doing it. And Philip's on a mission. And that's been done. He can see that this guy's ready to evangelize. And he's off to do the work that God has called him to do. It's really beautiful. And we can see that Philip is not just a one-time dedicated follower of Jesus. No, it's for life. We're called to be steadfast in the faith. And when we're steadfast in the faith, we can see God doing some things that you can never imagine down the road, as he pieces things together and his orchestrating power is at hand. Let's look in Acts 21 to get a glimpse of what I'm talking about. It says, "Now it came to pass that when he had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Cos." So now this is talking about Paul and some other believers that are traveling with him. "And the following day to Rhodes, and then from there to Patara. And finding the ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went abroad and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for the ship there was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem, and when he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we, who were Paul's companions, departed, and we came to Caesarea, and we entered into" whose house? Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and we stayed with them. This is such a beautiful picture of how we, church, are to treat those who were once our enemies and are now in the family of God. We're to love them. We're to be hospitable. And Philip, we see this example. And I just think it's beautiful because we can see in Galatians 6 this being played out, where it says in verse 6, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially" who? "Especially to those who are in the household of faith." Now, if you look at the time of Paul's conversion to the time that he ends up in Caesarea staying at Philip's house, it spans about 20 years. And so I want to encourage you, because here's two men who were at opposite ends. They hated each other. They were fearful of each other. They hurt each other. But through Christ, they were hanging out together. They were brought together. This is beautiful because you get to see the power of forgiveness at hand. When Jesus forgave us, we got to enter into that family, his family. And in that same way, when someone comes to the faith, no matter what they've done to you, no matter how they've hurt you or your friends or your family, you're to welcome them into that family. You're to be hospitable. You're to love them. So I want to leave you with two practices that I think will help us to be that evangelist, to be that person that we're called to be, to love others, to be the ministers of the faith. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to share your testimony. Do not be afraid to share your testimony. No one can take your testimony from you. Who you were before Jesus, what happened when you met Jesus, and who you are now. This is something that we have to go and tell people. Your life is a testimony of what Jesus has done. And so you want to go and you want to tell people, and you want to be ready to tell them. Be ready to give a reason for that hope. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 15, it says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. But do it with meekness and with fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Be ready. Be ready to give a reason for your hope. And then the second thing that I want to encourage you to do is to be devoted to the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Spend time in groups with brothers and sisters in the Lord who are also in the Word of God so that you can experience what it looks like for iron to sharpen iron. Spend time like this together so that you can leave filled, ready to go and do the work of an evangelist. It says there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as Paul is telling Timothy, I believe that this is also something for us to strongly consider in our lives. It says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Every one of you have a ministry. It can be your family, it can be your workplace, it could be how you serve here in the church. Every one of you have a testimony. Share the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And this is something that can never be taken away from you. Tell you a little story. Last month, I was in San Antonio, my wife and I, and we went to eat with Leo, our grandson, and our daughter. And there was a big sign at the front of the restaurant that said, "Lock your car, take all your belongings out." You know, it was really big, and I thought, wow, that's really big. We went in to eat, middle of the day, 3 o'clock. We come out, and my daughter says, "The console is left open inside your truck. Did you leave it open?" And I was like, "I don't think so. But I am getting older. I could have. I don't know." So I got in the truck. Everything seemed fine up to this point. Then I look in the center console and everything is missing. Everything. And they did such a good job of breaking into the truck, I didn't even notice it because they just stuck a screwdriver through the door handle, got in and out in less than 30 seconds. We have it on video. I saw it there. And they took, I was trying to remember everything that they took. And the one thing that really bothered me the most were the keys that they took. Because I had keys to the church, I had keys to my office, I had my badge to get into the police department, all of these things that to me, I hadn't realized it, but you know, when you have keys to some place, that's telling you that they trust you. It's an honor to be able to enter into those places and have a key to that place. So as I was pondering and reflecting on that, God was so kind to say, but guess what, brother? Guess what, son? You have a key that no one can ever take from you. We have Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you that my treasure is in heaven. I thank you, God, that you have blessed us with salvation for those who have placed their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And that we have access into the heavenly realms, an access that can never be stolen. So God, I pray that knowing that with the good news that you have blessed us to have received, that we would go out into this world and tell them of the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for saving this Ethiopian eunuch. Thank you for saving the woman at the well. If there's anyone who has felt maybe outcasted or that they're not worthy that's in this room right now, I pray that they would know that they are welcomed by your Spirit, that you can save them, that they would believe. And for those of us who know someone who is struggling with that, I pray that you would help us to evangelize, to preach the word, to give our testimony, empower us by your Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you, Paul. Well, hello, church. A couple quick announcements for you, just real quick. I want to make you aware of, on May 12th, we're going to be having our child dedication service. If you're interested in getting some information or taking part in that service, please get with Neth. You find him over in the kids area, talk to him, and he can get you the information you need for that. Also, want to give you a couple of the save the dates. Senior Sunday is coming up on May 19th. Yes, parents, you're almost done. They're almost gone for, you know, no longer going to cost you any money except for the whole college thing and cars breaking down and food and all that stuff. So, so you're done. Get with Jayden. We want to honor them, their accomplishments, and what they're doing and things like that. We want to make sure to recognize them as we send them off, like Paul has talked today about sending off. And then also, Family Day is also May 19th at Twin Oaks Ranch. If you've never had a chance to come up to our Family Day, we encourage you to do that. It's a great opportunity. This is our big service. We have chairs on the walls. Guess what? The other two services may not even know you exist, but they're going to be at Family Day, and you can meet them too. So please come out. There'll be games, pool, river, kayaks, lots of food, great music, baptisms, right? We're doing baptisms. That's going to be awesome. So we very much encourage y'all to set that date. Come out. It's a good time. Love to have you. We can get you information on the website for that. Lastly, closing verse, Mark 16:15. And he said to them, as you go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That is the command from Jesus to us. So let us go. You are sent. Have a good one, church.